Hello and welcome to another episode of the Richards Report. I'm Ted Richards. Regular listeners to the Richards Report will know that on this show, we regularly hear from investors, where we chat about their investment philosophy, and we also hear from founders and entrepreneurs who have often started innovative businesses that are disrupting traditional business models. And this episode, we're going to speak with one such founder who has been very innovative, a new way his business is disrupting the industry they operate in. His name is Joel Hauer, and he is the founder of Whiskey Loot, and more recently Gin Loot as well. And they are disrupting the retail liquor industry with a new experience. Some of you may be familiar with the business. They're a liquor subscription business where you sign up and receive regular whiskey or gin samples delivered to your door that also include background information on the drink that aims to educate you on the background of the whiskey company that you're drinking, and your palate on the finer flavors within the drink. Whilst it isn't totally revolutionary delivering a product to people's front door, I do think this business is interesting for a few reasons. Whiskey Loot is mostly direct-to-consumer through their website, and we're starting to see a real rise in direct-to-consumer businesses. This is interesting as they're often looking to bypass the need to be distributed through the big supermarket duopoly that we have here in Australia with Coles and Woolies. Another reason why I find the business interesting is that for many people that aren't familiar with whiskey or gin, which includes myself, this can provide a better user experience. Previously, a customer wanting to trial some gin or whiskey needed to start off by picking a large and often expensive bottle of the spirit on a shelf, and not a lot of variety once you've taken that bottle home and opened it. This model can make it a bit more accessible to working out possibly kind of what type of drink you like in that category. Also, with Joel's new business, you don't choose the choices made for you. In fact, Joel calls it going on an educational journey. And I think this is interesting as there's something called the paradox of choice, which I've touched on in previous episodes, which kind of describes how eliminating choices can actually reduce anxiety shoppers. So have a think about the last time you had to pick a toothpaste with the myriad of options on the shelf. Where do you begin? And this paradox of choice isn't limited just to groceries. A lot of people have the very same problem when they need to pick a superfund as well. There's so many out there. I think that you're going to find this an interesting discussion, learning about a business that's doing some new things in a space that hasn't evolved much. And that's why I wanted to speak with Joel. Before we get into it, in August of this year, of 2021, I'll be doing Fred's Big Run. It's an initiative of the Fred Hollows Foundation where I'll be attempting to run my challenge distance of running at least 100K over the month of August. This is all about raising money for the Fred Hollows Foundation to support the great work they do in helping the needlessly blind all over the world. It's both sad and incredible to think, but just $25 can cure someone from being needlessly blind in their life. If you'd like to donate to the cause, be it $25 or another figure, please click on the link in the comment section of this podcast episode or go to my social media accounts where there will be further info there. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at TedRichards25. If you can please make a donation, I would really appreciate it, and a big thank you to those of you who already have. The usual disclosures. This episode is just for educational purposes only and does not qualify as financial advice. People may hold positions in the companies discussed. We're also speaking about alcohol in this episode too, so with that in mind, I should add a few further comments. Customers must be older than 18 to purchase the product, and of course, drink responsibly. Let's get into it. My name is Ted Richards, you're listening to The Richards Report, and here is my discussion with Joel Hauer, the founder of Whiskey.
You're listening to The Richards Report, where we will speak with investment experts from around the country. We will cut through the jargon to allow you to make more insightful investment decisions for your future. This is The Richards Report.
Hi, Joel. Welcome to The Richards Report podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, Joel, I'm fascinated by Whiskey Loot and Gin Loot. Let's jump straight into it. When you were starting the business, what came first? Was it the passion for gin or whiskey, or was it actually the business idea?
I would have to say it's probably the business idea. That typically kind of stems from my love of startups and businesses in general. And, you know, since age of 16, I've been playing around with different ideas here and there. So I got into it pretty early, and obviously whiskey was a passion. And when I came across a good product idea and it kind of ticked a few boxes for me, it felt like the right and natural thing to do to progress into a fully, startup mode business that was a scalable idea.
Now, I've provided a bit of an intro to the business in my intro for the episode, but Joel, being your business, maybe if you could provide listeners a bit of color as to Whiskey Loot and Gin Loot and how it works.
Absolutely. The concept essentially stems from a little bit of a personal pain point that I had, and I think a lot of other people resonate with as well, evident with the growth of the business, and that's really that bars and bottle shops are our two main options when it comes to tasting spirit. And they're not really well equipped to provide a level of education that a lot of people desire. And the variety that you can choose within spirits is growing exponentially year on year. There's more and more distilleries to choose from. So there was a bit of a problem in, you know, accessing and also learning about the spirit and providing a little bit of variation and fun with that experience as well. So the business essentially sells a subscription of tasting packs where you go on a journey of learning about that particular spirit, whether it's gin or whiskey, over a period of time where your taste buds and your kind of taste profile and your palate develops in line with what we're providing you, so you can taste a huge array of different spirits from around the world and really figure out what it is you like.
So we've got about, correct me if I'm wrong, three bottles of approximately how many mils?
Yeah, so there's three bottles in each pack, and each bottle is 60 mils. So 180 mils in total, which is about two standard drinks per glass. That really gives you enough for you to have by yourself or share with a friend if you like. And obviously, it's something that if you want to only drink half and keep it for later, you can do that and compare month on month as you go.
Now, it's a fascinating business idea and fascinating business model, and there's so much I want to speak to. But let's start off with something that jumped out to me. Now, that is the branding, which I love. It's really good. But I'm sure the marketing departments of each of these alcoholic brands that you're working with also, they like their own branding too. So how do you kind of manage that conflict where it's your bottle, but their product?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, early on, I had the same question: are they going to resonate with this idea and let us essentially, you know, rebottle their product? And it's a resounding yes. The main kind of philosophy that the distilleries run themselves by is liquor on lips. So if they can get someone to taste a product, there's such a higher likelihood that that person is going to purchase a full bottle than if they were never going to taste it to start with. And that's why kind of the market penetration for new brands is so difficult and why it's so fragmented. So talking with distilleries day in, day out, most of them, I can't say all of them, we have had pushback in the past, but most of them understand that it's a way to get their product in front of a new audience.
So you started with whiskey and then you added gin. So can you tell me a bit about that process and the difference between the clients of who's buying the whiskey service and who's buying the gin service?
Absolutely. So gin, we only launched at the end of last year. And that was our first kind of different audience, or completely different audience. But we're running them both parallel. So it was really a huge learning curve to be able to launch a new brand under the umbrella of Liquor Loot. And it's something that we noticed quite early on that they're very different audiences. And that's where we are communicating more of a cocktail experience to the gin subscribers. And with whiskey, obviously, you're drinking it straight a lot more often than mixing it. And then from a demographic perspective, they do work hand in hand because whiskey has a lot of a female audience that are buying it as a gift for men. And then there's a cross-sell opportunity back to gin for themselves.
Now, it is fascinating, the business model. You're a direct-to-consumer business, and which has its disadvantages in that, in particular around customer acquisition, a cost that you need to wear. But there's advantages which I'm interested to hear on the feedback on what's popular and what's not, and how you possibly manage the working capital. So with you, as opposed to Dan Murphy's, you don't need to put a product on the shelf and wait till it sells. How precise can you be with your ordering?
That's a great, very insightful what's going to sell. Question. Yeah. So it's something that is probably the biggest barrier to entry for this business model. And that's really understanding your growth curve and your retention rates. And we've put a lot of work into understanding that, and we've pivoted a few times with our business model. But it's completely different to working with a retail and a shelf, but also it has its upsides. Obviously, if you put something on a shelf, you're waiting for that ideal customer to purchase it. And if they've never heard of it, never tasted it before, it's going to be quite difficult to sell that, especially at a more premium price point. With us, obviously, we do subscription packs, and those are treated more of you're going to like the majority. We're not promising that you're going to love every single one. That's not the idea, because everyone's taste profiles are very different. So if there's one or two out of a couple of months that you've been there that you don't like, then at least you're going to know why you didn't like them and why you are liking the ones that you're liking. So we have a lot of flexibility to obviously put in the boxes what we think people are going to like. But right now it works on a particular kind of monthly, order. So ensuring that people's taste profiles build from a novice all the way through to an expert, and we're actually putting the particular whiskies in those particular monthly slots based on that.
So it's not actually providing the whiskey in bulk, treating all clients, all consumers the same, but actually taking everyone on a journey.
Correct. Yes. So our business model started with that as you mentioned. So providing everyone in bulk that same calendar month's box, and now we've pivoted to essentially a playlist model where everyone gets the box corresponding to the amount of months that they've been signed up. So you've been signed up for 1 month, you're getting box one; 6 months, box six, in that particular order. And that is really based on the education that we can provide and also building someone's confidence up without throwing them a particular whiskey or a particular gin that we know is only really for advanced drinkers, and your taste profile and your palate might not be at that point yet where you're actually going to appreciate it because you haven't tasted X, Y, and Z before that. So it's a bit of an art, bit of a science, but there's a lot that went into building that model, and that's what's really differentiated us, I think.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I love that term, the playlist model, which applying that to something certainly quite a distant from the music industry. Now, as you were speaking then, I was thinking about things that you might discover that surprise you, in particular when people are tasting this liquor and they've had a brand taken away from them. Are you getting any feedback that has surprised you in terms of what you think might be popular, but the feedback you actually receive differs from that?
I would say it's probably the other way around. It's probably the things that people don't think would be popular that are the most popular, and the ones that are that you think are really going to be amazing, they don't fall flat, but they don't get the uproar that the surprise is from, finding something that you never thought you would like and you love it. And that kind of corresponds. We've had two countries. So we've had India and we've had Peru. So we've had an Indian whiskey and a Peruvian whiskey, both of which those countries are not known for their whiskey at all. But putting that in front of someone, you usually get, I'm never going to touch an Indian whiskey. Doesn't sound very good. Give me something else. As soon as they taste it, as soon as they kind of break down that preconceived idea, that barrier, they love it. And the response is amazing. Like, you've opened my eyes to X, Y, and Z that's out there that I would never have touched before.
Joel, I need to be open and transparent here. I'm not much of a whiskey drinker nor a gin drinker, but I can appreciate if I was to see one from Peru or India, I probably would be a bit anchored in my thoughts of as to what it's going to taste like. But I guess that's one of the positives of this model, is being able to open your eyes and get you trying things that you wouldn't otherwise try.
I think there's, you know, within the alcohol industry, there's always been very strong branding that, you know, is multi-generational. It's not just a new brand that's popped up and you've been marketed to it this year. It's something that your grandfather might have drunk. So I think with that comes a lot of kind of legacy trust, and obviously doubt when it comes to brands that you haven't heard of before. But really breaking that barrier of I've only drunk this because I've only ever drunk this is something that we strive to do. So we strive to kind of push people's envelope a little bit with what they're trying, because we know it can be profound in that experience of, you know, trying something new, thinking that you're going to hate it, and it turns out to be your favorite.
Now, Joel, I know you've had a lot of success here, and I'm not sure if you're able to kind of give us some insight in terms of, you know, how many people have tried your service so far. But what I do want to ask about here is on the topic of customer acquisition that we touched on before, and that you are a direct consumer business, and that you can't say put the product on the Dan Murphy's and wait for Dan Murphy's to do the heavy lifting. How have you achieved this?
There's a bit of correction there. So we do a little bit of retail and wholesale at the moment, and that is building up. So I entered the business thinking that we'd only do direct to consumer, but that the numbers for alcohol are just so large in retail still. Obviously, online is growing faster than ever. But, you know, it's about kind of, you know, 95% of people are still buying their liquor through retail. So we've done some deals, and we'll continue to do deals where we kind of do this tasting pack approach. Obviously, it's not a subscription within retail. It's slightly different. From a customer acquisition perspective online, it's been a lot of word of mouth organically. And that's how we kind of started. But from there, it's been a series of iterations on Facebook and Instagram to really figure out our messaging and figure out what type of audience resonates with the product. And it is good because it's a product that is great from a gifting perspective. So the gift audience has been really something that has fueled the business along. Obviously, we do subscriptions, but we turn those subscriptions into gift subscriptions. So you can prepay for 3, 6, or 12 months in advance for someone's birthday, for instance. And that's something that has really helped us scale.
And on the topic of customer acquisition, exposure, and word of mouth, I noticed that you did a relatively recently successful April Fool's joke. In that you did, I believe, a water loot. Can you tell me a bit about that, and whether it had success in driving traffic to the site?
It was a lot of fun to do. I can't say it moved the needle that much, but it was definitely something that the team kind of rallied behind, and it was fun to watch it get out there. We didn't really go into it thinking it was going to be a massive sales campaign, but I think as a business, and something that, you know, we're in the direct to consumer space, and we're a little bit of a cheeky company. We don't like to be, you know, a straight arrow. So it was something that I think just resonated with our audience more than drove particular kind of a performance metric at that time.
Well, it came across my desk, so it got a tick from me to be able to kind of get some cut through. And even though it may not have moved the needle, like you said, to get the word out, it all helps. Now, subscription services, in particular, subscription boxes, come with many advantages over, say, the opposite, where you got to pick it yourself. So I was having a think about your business from my perspective as someone that I'm probably your target market, and that I don't drink much gin or whiskey. I'd it's a bit of the paradox of choice. I'd find it hard to buy a bottle when I know so little about this space. Do you find that not providing people choice in this is actually a good thing?
I think so. There's definitely an audience out there that knows exactly what they want, and they'll go to our search bar and they'll type in the whiskey and they'll go and they'll buy that. There's a much, much, much bigger audience that is struggling with that decision. And I think Whiskey Loop, whether it's a subscription or whether it's the pack, does provide a option for people in that kind of consideration phase of their their aspiration to become a whiskey expert, essentially. Choice, I think it can be a little bit overwhelming, especially in retail, my problem that I experienced was going to, a Dan Murphy's, and it doesn't need to be Dan Murphy's, it can be any, big box retailer, and looking at that wall of whiskey, reading the back of a bottle, and it says something about the rolling hills of Scotland, but it doesn't ever say anything about taste, and it doesn't give you an opportunity to reduce that risk of buying something that you might hate, or even if you don't absolutely hate it, might not be your favorite. And then instead of taking, a month to get through it because you absolutely love it, it sits on your shelf for 4 years. So it's one of these things that I think a lot of people feel like they don't have that love affair with a spirit because they might have had a bad first experience. And if you can kind of reduce that risk by spreading it at a lower price point across 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 24 for our advent calendars that we do, whiskies or gins, then you do have a much bigger chance of finding that spirit that you do really like, or that category of taste that you like.
The other aspect that I was thinking about is, especially when I'm a client, and I know a lot of your clients just love your service, is that anticipation of waiting for the delivery. Do you see that as also as a kind of a strength to the business, that it only comes monthly, so that there needs to be a level of anticipation and waiting for the next one?
I would say that's a strength and potentially a weakness as well for some people. It really depends on how quickly they are able to get through that. We've had customers that have communicated that they've had three or four different boxes stack up because they haven't been able to get through them quick enough. Obviously, there's a huge range of consumption patterns out there. Monthly is something that we've experimented with and has kind of worked best. But from a customer service perspective, sometimes we sometimes we move people to a quarterly subscription because it suits their needs a little bit more.
Anything else with the subscription box service that has an advantage? Like, I was even wondering around loyalty, if people, once they're with you, that they stay with you longer?
So with the tasting, obviously people still desire to kind of build their home bar or build their collection at home. So we have a members only program, so they can come back and buy a full bottle. And that's something that has resonated really well because it gives a benefit beyond just the box that arrives every month, a benefit in buying and getting a discount on that full bottle that they loved.
Joel, when did you see you go live with Whiskey Loop?
It was about July 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about 4 years ago now.
Yeah, almost 4 years later, you've come to market with Gin Loot.
Yep.
Can you give us some insight as to what may be next?
We're seeing a lot of trends in the space around tequila and other white spirits. We haven't picked the exact one that we're going to go to market with yet. It's probably going to be within kind of the next 12 to 18 months, I'd say. We're working on it, and we're working on a few other things from an international perspective as well.
Okay, because you currently are Australian only, but opportunities to expand outside. So now, Joel, I'm sure there are many listeners out there that are fascinated by both this business, but also you and your background. I've done my research, and you've got a digital marketing background, which is probably speaks to some of the skills that you've drawn upon to be able to grow this business of the way. If listeners would like to find out more information on Whiskey Loot, Gin Loot, or yourself, where can they go?
You can look me up on LinkedIn, Joel Hauer. There's only one of me, I think, in Australia, so we're all good there. For Whiskey Loot, it's whiskeyloot.com and ginloot.com. We've got a special offer for your listeners as well. So if they type in TRR20, they'll get 20% off the first month of gin or whiskey. So they can go ahead and test out the subscription for themselves.
Well, appreciate that. Joel, thanks very much for taking the time for the chat on the Richards Report.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.